Being outside was nice. I was so glad that we made that choice to be out there. Thankful to Kairos for building the stage and all the logistics that were done for people that made it happen. That was so good. But it is so nice to be back in here. Amen. And thanks to all of you who made it possible. I just love this carpet. It is so squishy. I'm up here, my feet are saying, ah. You know, it is good. A couple of real quick things. Last week, the trash cleanup was so much fun. And I wish I had the skills of Scott and Bryce to video, because you had, was it Dylan riding with all that great hair on top of Brian Glover's roll top, on top of five couches down the road to the dump? People would see them, hey, get the couch over here, get the couch over there, there's one down there. And it was so cool, and all the guys and people who were there, guys and ladies, sorry, guys is generic, all the different help we had, it was great, and I was thrilled to be a part of that. This next Saturday, we get another chance, 7 o'clock, Sycamore Hills Elementary School. It's on 39th Street. The person who's in charge of the painting said, I am so glad you all are here, because it makes their job so easy. So they'll have it all ready for us. Go in, 7 o'clock, we'll have donuts for you. And I plan for us to be eating lunch, I hope, at 10:30. That's the hope, all right? So we'll get started at 7, knock it out, eat, have fun. I ask for all the spare T-shirts in the world to come there so you can have at least more than one, all right? Maybe happen, maybe not. All right, that's enough said. Thanks for letting me give you some ads here. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for grace. Thank you for your goodness. I pray that we, as we already have, are touched by you and we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's look. I'm going to read along with you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. So Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and a crowd was pressing in to hear the word of God. That, you know, when I read this, I prayed and I asked for God just to have everybody press into Jesus. You know, in this world, how we need people to be attracted to Jesus and to press into him. So I was do that, see it. He saw two boats there on the shore of the lake. The fishermen, they were out of them. They were washing their nets. Let me just pause for a minute. There are times when Jesus is present and Jesus is speaking and we're off at the side washing our nets, maybe not listening. I know how that happens in my own life. There are times when Jesus has a message for me, but I'm busy with what I'm doing during the day. I'm preoccupied. My head is full of my own thoughts. My cell phone blinks during a worship service, and I have to check and see what's going on with my cell phone. And so one of the things I'd really encourage you, and I'm going to come back to this later, I'd encourage you to think about, Jesus, am I available to hear your voice whenever you want to speak? He is speaking every day. Am I available to hear from you? So he got in one of the boats. He belonged to Simon. He asked him to put out a little way from the shore. And he sat down. He talked to crowds from the boat. When he got through speaking, he told Simon, put out in the deep water. Let down the nets for a catch. Now, this is going to be the main point. Simon was a professional fisherman. And Simon had worked all night long. And he sort of grumbled, Lord, what do you mean? That's my interpretation. But at your request, I'll go out deeper. So he went out, and here's what happened. When they were done, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. Wow. Jesus does know something about fishing. He knows something about sobriety. He knows something about your life. He knows something about everything. And if we hear him, we can respond. So this is what we want to talk about today for a few minutes. Put out in the deep water. Now I'm going to pull this stool over because I'm kind of tall, and our next guest to speak is not as tall as me, so I don't want her to to feel that I'm too big. I want to just say a word about Carrie first of all. Carrie Price is going to come. Carrie is part of the Good Foundation. And amen. I had to ask her name last week. I just knew she was this neat lady. Whenever a newcomer came in the room, this is going to get me choked up, Carrie. Whenever a newcomer would come in the room, she would always go over and welcome. There was a couple of weeks ago when I saw her, we were outside, I saw her take a lady by the hand and walk with her up to be prayed. Here's my story, Carrie. When I went to church for the first time, I was scared to death. I had a friend who took me. Actually, I was 18 years old. I was driving. I'd graduated from high school. But they came by my house because they knew I needed that kind of welcome. And when I saw you do that, I thought, here you are, welcoming somebody. And so I wanted Carrie to speak, and she's nervous as can be. And I said, you know what? Your words don't mean nearly as much as your behavior, what you've done, how you show people. And so, Carrie, if you come on up, we give her a really good applause, all right? Thank you. So can I ask you a couple questions and then put you on play?
Sure.
All right, thank you. Isn't she so nice, huh? Thank God for that. I got two other guys coming. They're going to not be nearly as good. So, Carrie, how long have you been sober now?
8 months.
8 months?
Yep.
Yay. All right. Fantastic. And so we're talking about going out in the deep water. And there, you know, Peter grumbled about it, but he went ahead and did it anyway. And I asked her to talk about the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, her 12-step program. What is the next step you're taking that takes you back out?
So my next step is to work all the steps in my daily life, surrender to my Heavenly Father each day, and to completely turn my will over to Him. And on a daily basis to take personal inventory and to notice promptly whenever I have any wrongs and make them right. And
okay. So what step are you on right now?
So I'm on step 9 right now.
Step 9. What is... Amen. What is step 9?
So step 9 is making amends
okay.
for wrongs done in the past.
All right. I have people who are successful. They have completed lots of sobriety, and they say that making amends is one of the biggest next steps. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right. Not easy to do,
no.
But it really makes a difference.
It does, yeah. It makes you grow as a person so much, yeah.
Fantastic. Do you have anything else you want to say to us?
No, that's it.
Thank you. Fantastic. That is... Folks, I look like I played sports, but I'm really a cheerleader. And I cheer people on when they get victory. It's so good. Yay. Fantastic. Fantastic. I would like to say to somebody here, whoever you somebody might be, you don't need to hear any more about this sermon. You've heard everything right now from Carrie. You need to know, what is my next step to push off with the program of AA to move to my next step of sobriety? And you may be like Peter was, saying, I am resisting it. You're on a tough one, making amends. And so you may be saying, man, I know I got to make amends, but I don't want to fork over the cash to make the amends. Or I know I need to make amends, but I don't want to apologize. I know I need to make amends, but writing that letter to that person is so hard. Whatever it might be, I would so encourage you, we're going to have a prayer time at the end of our service. I would encourage you to come and say, God, help me do what I need to do. All right? So I'm a part of the Fellowship Hall Sunday School class. I absolutely love it. I don't think I'd ever go to another one. I learn things so frequently in that class. And Carrie, I've learned just watching you. And there's others in there too that I could cheer on. But just, I just want to say thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you. Now, I'm also a part of a men's small group on Wednesday night. If you're not one of those, I'd encourage you. Kyle Gloria leads it. No, excuse me, Anna Arcano leads it. And Kyle's kind of a important person in there. But so is Marcus. Marcus, why don't you come up? Marcus Watkins? Yay. And I told Marcus just a minute ago, he's a whole lot like Carrie. He has a lot of good stuff to say, but I love what he does. And there are people that he reaches that I could never reach, or Jake could never reach. He has a way of communicating and talking and relating, and it is just off the chart. So Marcus, same question. Jesus said, put out the deep water. And the deep water sometimes tough, it's hard. So what is Jesus saying is deep water for you right now? What's that next step you're taking with him and responding to him?
So to me, the deep water is doing the uncomfortable, you know? So, the uncomfortable for me is being ready to share my testimony whenever somebody needs it, you know? Like this week, I was working on this Crosslands job. Crosslands is a huge company here in Kansas City and probably other places too. And, when I wake up in the morning, I ask Jesus to use me. You know, I said, God, use me today. I just want to be used by you. And whenever I pray that, I have to be looking for, as Coach Jake would say, the strike. You know, Jesus lines up and throws you one right down the middle, you know. And so this week, Jesus threw me this strike, and I was ready for it. You know, so this guy, he says, he comes up to me, and he's the superintendent of this huge company, and he says, how long have you been working for Seal-O-Matic Paving? And that's just a really simple question, right? But I was able to say, well, you know, I've been there for 7 years now. And the reason why that I'm here is because I gave my life to Jesus. And I've been able to pass a piss test now. Which is not something you normally want to say to any superintendent of a job, you know what I'm saying? But, you know... what's so cool about that is he reached his hands out there and shakes my hand. He says, what's your name? I said, Marcus. He says, man, I'm really glad you're on my job. You know what I'm saying? How cool is that? Another thing that's uncomfortable is when I get off work at, 6:30 at night and class Wednesday night, Bob will attest to this. He's always there and he sees me coming in, and I'm like, my feet are dragging.
Smelling bad, too.
Smelling bad. Yeah. But, these guys, they always welcome me anyways. But, the uncomfortable is my body, my mind, everything tells me, no, you need to go take a shower. But Jesus wants me there, so I come anyways. You know what I'm saying? It's uncomfortable. That's all you get for a buck. Everybody owes me a dollar.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. So I have been preaching since 1968. I am a religious professional. I used to get paid for it all those years. I only had 2 weeks out of those years where I wasn't getting paid to pastor or lead a church. And yet, I'm not trying to brag, I'm trying to make a point. When I come on Wednesday nights, I learn from guys like Marcus or Mike's coming up next, or Adam or Kyle or one of the other guys in the group, Mark, I could just call roll. You never know so much, you never have accumulated so much that you don't need to sit in a room with people who are sharing their life experiences. I just saw Lance. I'm always blessed by Lance. He sends me a daily text about what's going on, and I appreciate that. So encourage you, to think about, what's my next step? It may be like you've worked all day long, and the only thing you want to do is to take a shower, get a glass of tea, and hold the remote control, and maybe have somebody operate it for you. Try it out. Try it out and see what can be done. All right, Mike, why don't you come up here? By the way, this is the last carpet Mike tells me he's ever going to lay. He's in the laminate business. In case you're wondering, he did our house when we moved. And Chris Weeks hauled it out on his trailer. So much carpeting, I think it broke the axle, didn't it? But, man, he's a star. But he's a star in the life of Jesus also. So, Mike, I want to ask you. We're also in the same small group. The deep water. What does the deep water look like to you?
First thing I want to say is I've noticed Carrie the same way you did.
Yeah.
It's because it's noticeable.
She's an awesome
person. Yeah, she's an awesome person.
When God's life flows through somebody's life, it's just very nice.
You see it.
Yeah.
Okay, and so a couple years ago, I was on fire for the Lord, and I wanted to help out. When people came to the altar to want to pray, I'd go in the back row, and if I see somebody that looked like they're on the fence, I would, can I walk you up or pray with you or something? And it went pretty good for a couple weeks, and then this older gentleman with a cane, and he's looking at me, and I said, can I pray for you? And he said, my wife is at home with hospice, and she don't have long to live. And immediately I thought, what am I doing right here, right now? Oh, my gosh. And so ended up, I get Donna Mills and Dan Steiner, and they helped me, and Donna knew the guy, and ended up turning out okay. But, you know, I was testing the water, boy, and now I'm up on the sidewalk. I'm like, I'm not going. It scared me. It scared me. It took me a long time to get to a point where I could pray for people. And so then Mike said, you have a heart for prayer, so I want you to come down and pray for people now. And my faith, I've built a lot of faith, and it's helped me a lot, so I'm able to pray for people. And so now it's all about the words. And Bob, you ever heard somebody pray a prayer, and you're just like, God, your hands are tied. You hear that prayer? You have to do something now. I don't exactly have that gift. I just keep an open, honest, humble heart and pray. And you explained that to me the other day at lunch,
right,
about not having to pray for people about the, remember what you said?
No.
When a child scribbles on something and puts on the refrigerator?
Oh, yeah.
Tell them that.
Okay.
It's good stuff.
I'm sorry, y'all. When you listen
to our conversation.
When you go past 70, it stops working. You know. We've got pictures of our grandkids that they've drawn for us on our refrigerator, and they are not works of art to anybody but to us. And your prayer may not sound like, you know, anything great, but to God, it's a treasure. And so, you know, one of the greatest prayers that was ever prayed in this church was from Brian Rose. And he was a deacon of the day, and he came up here and he stood. We had a big pulpit at that time. He stood right here and he said, God, and then he got choked up. And he was choked up and choked up and choked up. And the presence of God was so real. And then he said, amen, and walked off the platform. Huh? Yeah. That is prayer, okay? Still gets me.
Good stuff. So prayer is my deep water. Because I'm always afraid of that.
Right.
One prayer.
Yeah.
So, but you know, you keep trying, keep doing it.
Exactly. You're going to do it in just a minute. So I'm going to ask Carrie and Mike. Carrie didn't know this, but I'm going to ask Carrie to be up here too when people come up for prayer. Do you mind? I didn't think you would. That is so sweet. So I don't think it's fair for me to ask them what their deep water is without talking my own. So I just told you all I'm a religious professional. That's my job. Sometimes we get in class and people ask me a question and I can answer, and they go, whoa. I said, guys, listen. If I came on your job, like Marcus, and there was some piece of equipment for me to operate, I would look like a clown.
I don't have a clue on how to work that stuff. In fact, when I go to fix something, Tony rushes to the phone and calls somebody to come fix it in the house. I mean, I am not very good. But I still need to go into the deep water. And I don't care how old you are here today and how long you've walked with God, there is deep water for you. And you're cheating yourself if you don't go there. I still remember visiting Mrs. Hawk. You have to be old to remember Mrs. Hawk, because she was ancient when I came here in the 80s. Mrs. Hawk was this great saint of God. And I remember going to her place as she was heading off to a nursing home. She was well up in her 90s. She had taught Sunday school. She sang in the choir. She was just this dynamic lady. I remember walking in and sitting down with her. This is absolute truth. I would get my spiritual life up to par before I'd go see her, because the presence of God was so real. So I remember sitting down with Mrs. Hawk and saying, "How you doing?" And I still remember these words: "I'm entering in to a new dimension of God's grace." And that was her next step to the nursing home, and her next step was heaven, and she had a great welcome home. I don't care how old you are and how long you've been serving God, you need to look at this and say, what is deep water for me? What is the next step for my life? So I'm going to tell you the next step for me. And this is deep water. First of all, it is to be conscious that Jesus is speaking every day, and to realize that I can hear him if I'm listening to him. And that involves reading the Bible, and it involves prayer. That's part of it. But it also means being aware of what's going on around me. All right? So, for example, when I go to the fellowship hall class and I sit down there, I'm looking for what Jesus has to say to me through somebody in that class. Or when I go to a men's small group, it's the same thing. Now, I threatened last week to give them a roll of duct tape to shut me up. I've been in the basement for a year, and I've just gotten out, so I like to talk. But who's speaking? Am I listening to them? So it's hearing his voice, but then the next step is doing what he tells me to do. It's knowing and doing God's will. And I'd like to say, whenever God speaks, "Yes, sir, Lord, I'm ready." No, I'm just like Peter. "Lord, come on now. Don't, you know, do we have to do this?" Yeah, I mean, I'm the only one in the room like that, right? And so it is hearing his voice and doing it. Now, I heard Findlay Edge is a great Baptist preacher from years gone by. I heard Findlay Edge tell a group of men from this passage, this story. And the thing that most impressed me was, he said, you know, Jesus was talking, and there were men just cleaning their nets, not hearing a thing he had to say. And I would encourage you to say, "Oh, no, God, I am ready to hear your voice so I can respond to you every day." So you've got some images of what are next steps for you. And you've got Carrie, who's talking about your next step in the AA program. She's got more than that, but I asked her to speak about that. You've got Marcus and you've got Mike talking about next steps on their journey. And you've got me, the old guy in the group, talking about next steps for you. Would you make a decision to do that? And we have some small group leaders, Sunday school teachers, and the three people who helped me on the platform, and me. And Daniel's going to come up here, and he's going to lead us in some music. Let me just finish out this as Daniel's coming up. So the next step was, Peter saw it best because they pulled in a large group of fish, and he told Jesus, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." When you see the presence of God, it happens to you like that. But Jesus said to him, "Don't be afraid. You're going to be catching people." And that's God's work in our lives. So if you all would please, Carrie, you and your group, come join me. And let's all go ahead and stand together, please. And I'm going to ask Daniel just to sing a song. We've got about 5 minutes, so you're going to have to come quick. And you come and get with somebody and pray with them. God bless you, all right?